It's funny, when you baptize, you turn it off so you don't get electrocuted. So. Is that a good enough excuse? All right. Even though I think I had it on. Sounded good for a second until I thought about it. All right. Are you grateful? I'll tell you what, after yesterday and just the last week or so, as Miss Margaret went on to be with the Lord and we celebrated her homecoming yesterday, I tell you what, I just became more and more grateful for Georgetown Southern Baptist Church and just watching the church minister to her family. And I understand Paul, probably maybe not quite in the same way, but in the book of Philippians, you see him grateful for the church at Philippi. And he loves this church. As a pastor, you can't help but to love your church. Now, I've been in some churches that I haven't loved quite as much as this one, all right? They have been kind of interesting to pastor. But I just think about just the love that is amongst the membership here and the care that is here. I have seen it in so many different ways for the way that you minister to me and my family and to others within the church. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for that. So grateful for the way that this church ministers through Sunday school and discipleship, the new training that's taking place and the individual discipleship that's taking place and Awanas and so many that are involved in different things along those lines. I'm grateful for those that do those things that in other churches I have had to do. And just very grateful to the Lord. I want you to understand that's how Paul is as he is looking at, as he is writing this text, is his heart is grateful. And notice who it's grateful to. We begin in, I was hoping that was verse 10, is that not? Ah, all right. It's going to be a fun PowerPoint day. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We're so grateful for Paul and the example of his life and the writings that he has given us that are from you. And Father, we see his heart as he is in the midst of prison writing to us, and he is so grateful to you. Father, he literally has nothing of the comforts of this life, and he's so grateful. God, I pray that our hearts are challenged today as we look at this text and we see Paul's heart and how thankful that he is and grateful. And Father, the reason for that gratitude. Father, guide every word that's said. Let our hearts be receptive to your word. And we ask these things all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We see here in the text that he's grateful for the renewed support that Philippi has. Now, we really don't have any idea why it seems that there has been a time that they have stopped supporting Paul. We don't know if he got put in prison and they didn't know about it, and there was a lag that took place there. We just don't know. But for some reason, it's as if there's been a disconnect for a period of time. And he is so grateful that that relationship is restored as some support has come to him. If you notice, this thankfulness that he has, this gratitude that he has, it's kind of a triangular thankfulness. Who does he thank? You look in the text, and he thanks the Lord for the church at Philippi. All right? He doesn't just outright come out and thank them. All right, he is dealing with the Lord that has blessed him through them. Now you think about that and the circumstances of what is taking place. He understands that the reason that they are able to help him is because of the ministry that God had sent him to share the gospel with them, and they accepted, received, professed Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, have been discipled, grown in the faith, and as a result of that, what has happened? Now they are able to come alongside of him and be of help to him. I mean, you just think about all that has taken place here as Paul is in prison. And as he's stepping back, and he is so grateful to these, for these people and what they have done, but he sees the whole picture of what God has been doing to be able to even minister to him at this point, plus all the ministry that's taken place that I dare say he probably has no idea what is taking place. Now, he is so grateful to the Lord. Let me ask you, how do you express thanks? This one kind of got all over me as I looked at this text. And I mean, I love to thank people and thank you for what you do. But who do you thank for what people do? You notice, I think that if he had been right in front of them, he would have said it. You know what? I thank the Lord for you. The term is not back in looking at who it is. It is who has provided for his desires. And you notice in the text, he doesn't even say it's his needs. They have come alongside of him and loved him in this time that he's in jail. He says, you know, there's nothing that he really has need of. But their concern is revived, and we see that they are desiring to care for him. Now, folks, one commentator made the statement, I tend to agree, that Paul is trying to come across as if he's not begging them for money. All right? He doesn't mind them supporting him and things of that nature, so he's thanking the Lord for them, and he's not coming across as if, you know what, this is something that you just have to do. This isn't like supporting the local New Testament church as is talked about within Scripture. This is supporting something outside. Yes, it is one that has ministered to them greatly, but he understands this is not one of those things that has to take place. It is ministry that has been received by him. And so he's very cautious as he's looking at this and as he is addressing the church at Philippi. But I want you to notice, he's not just quiet about it either. He lets them know that he sees what has taken place. Now, I don't know about you, but some have, at the point, they say, you know what, we just don't want to thank, because then they'll start getting the big head. And then they'll think how wonderful they are because they've given. And Paul takes the opportunity, and he is grateful to this church, because the Lord has placed them in his life and what has taken place. Man, I love looking at Paul and the way that he addresses the things within his life and the issues that he's going through. What you going through in your life? Man, you just talk about the uncertainty. He doesn't know if his life will be there, if he will give his life at any moment while he is there. Absolute uncertainty within his life. And he's grateful to the Lord, whatever would happen. You notice in verse 11, we'll see where, that's what I was supposed to have it there. Since it messed up once, I forgot about the slides. All right, here we go. We're looking at the next part. He's learned to be content regardless of his circumstances. And you see the text there. He says in verse 11, says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. In prison? Folks, I've talked to a lot of people that are behind bars, and it is very rare that they are content. And it's even rarer that they are guilty. Just too many times I've heard the stories But those that you will find that they will truly profess Christ as Lord and personal Savior, dear friend of mine in Oklahoma, he has a ministry called Setting the Captives Free. I always kind of wondered why they let him in. But they did. And if they truly profess Christ as Savior, there was a freedom they had even though they were locked up every night because of what Christ had done within their life. They had learned to be content. Let me ask you, are you content? Poem I came across this week by Jason Lehman. It says, it was spring, but it was summer I wanted. Any of you like that? The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was now winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. I wanted the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age that I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. You just think about it. How did you go about in life? And so many people that you talk to and that you discuss and where they are at, there is no satisfaction. There is no contentment whatsoever within this life. I mean, I've talked to people over the years. You know, I can't wait till I get out of high school and then I can go to college and college will be great. And then they get into college. They can't wait till they get out of college. Well, I can't wait till I get out of college and then I can have a girlfriend and then I can get married and then I can get married and then I can have children and children will fix it. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it goes on and on. Then I'll have a career and that'll fix it. Then I need to make some more money so that I can retire and that'll fix it. And they just keep going to life and never content. And here is Paul, in the midst of what you and I would call a horror, content. Shared with you the stories of the, I believe Tom Eliff shared the story of another missionary, if I recall, a missionary in Africa. And he said, you know what? They get to where they got a little shanty over their heads and they want more. They want to have walls on their house. And then they get past a little bit of rice, and then you know what? They get to where they have rice every day, and they want meat. It just never ends. Paul says you learn. He has learned to be content. Folks, it is not something that will just be dropped into your life. Contentment is something that must be learned, and you learn it as you go through life, as you have the abundance of life, and as you have a lack of abundance in life. In our country, it is very difficult to be able to understand what it is to do without. I understand there are some of you here that you have been in those points within your life where you've had more and you've had less, but we are such a blessed country, it is very difficult to go through just some of those things that take place within life. But what happens, and we asked this class, this question in Sunday school class this morning, what happens whenever everything's gone? What are those things that make you content? You know, you couldn't face life without what? Some of you'd say coffee. Some of you would say many other things. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your family. What makes you what you would say is content? You see, all the prosperity, all of these things, they test our greed, and we have so much that we have within our lives, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. The question came up in Sunday school class this morning. What does it mean to deny yourself? Boy, it went quiet. Because we don't want to. We have many things that are blessings and many things that are good in and of themselves, but we see the extending of that within our lives and the focus of those things within our life where they become the priority and we worship them rather than worshiping the Lord. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we're to examine ourselves and to see if we truly are content in who. Did you hear all the music? I mean, it's talking literally about our contentment in Christ. And are you content? You look at it and you see here within scriptures that the contentment is something that we are always learning. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, he says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Who wrote that? The Apostle Paul to Timothy. He is challenging him about riches and those that are rich and teaching those that are rich and how many get snared into loving money and living for money. Now, everybody says money's the root of all kinds of evil. That's not what it says. What's it say? It's the love of it. How much, Dave, you thought about money over the things of the Lord in preparing to come here? Now, folks, I'm here to tell you, you should have thought about money in preparation to come here because that's part of the worship. All right? And every time I bring this up, Greg will remind me that I forgot to write my check this morning. All right? So I'll confess. All right? But it's part of it. But what is it? As you write out that check or you give that finances or whatever, it is part of the worship that you have as you are coming here to the Lord. You know what? I hate writing it out to Duke Energy. I don't like to write a check that says AT&T or go online and pay it or whatever you do. But this is one that's a joy. As we worship and we come together and we serve the Lord and we give. But you see, there are those that are rich that, and let me dare tell you, you say, "Well, that preacher, you're not talking to me." You live in the United States of America. You qualify as rich. Hello? You there? Have you learned to be content with what God has given you, or are you living for the making of money and not for the use of it for the sake of the kingdom? You see, he continues on later on in the chapter in 1 Timothy 6. He says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Everything you have in life is to enjoy. All right? But what? You bring it under the Lordship of Christ, and it is about Him. Folks, man, there's so many blessings that we have. That was one of the discussions we had in Sunday school. You know, God blesses us tremendously. Many things you have in your home in and of themselves are not sin. Many of your hobbies in and of themselves are not sin. Many of the different things that you enjoy to do in and of themselves are not sin unless they are all consuming and taking you away from Christ and not being used to honor and to glorify Christ. Because what is happening, you are becoming content in the stuff rather than in Christ. The money that we have, the things that we have of this life, they test us and their importance. Take up your cross, it said, and daily and follow Him. Deny yourself. It's what we looked at in our the lesson this morning, folks. It is a decision that you make of denying yourself for the glory of the Lord. You know, what are those things you say you can't live without? Let me give you a hint. If you think you can't, you probably should. Hello? Beware of it becoming an idol within your life. Man, I can't live without television. Shut that sucker off for a while. You can't live without this. I mean, I don't want to give up coffee. I'd have a headache like nobody's business. But do you live for it? What do you live for? You see, it is living literally this life for the sake of Christ. Now, folks, Paul is not one of these that's coming along and saying, you know what? You know, I've had it easy, and now I'm going to tell you to have sometimes a difficult life. Folks, it's not necessarily a difficult life because it's what? It's a life that is honoring to the Lord. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, just all the things that he mentions. He says, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Anybody had days like those? I haven't been in any riots or in prison, or at least on the other side for an extended period of time. Folks, the things that he went through, and I mean, it doesn't even mention him being shipwrecked and being stoned and all of those things that took place within his life. And in verse 10, he says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet many making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. You see, he has a contentment, and it is not based on the stuff or the things or the people that are around him. It is based on Christ. You notice the context as you look at this passage of Scripture. It is everybody's oftentimes favorite verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we love to quote it. David, if you remember, I'm trying to fill his size 13s with my 9.5s today. You remember back in October, he preached on this passage of Scripture. And he and I had a little discussion before he preached on it too. All right? We see here that it's in the context of this, that it is in Christ that he's content. You hear? He is content because of Christ. Let me tell you what. Everything has been taken out from underneath him. And he's content. You remember David shared with you, this isn't that you can do anything. You know what? You're never going to see me run a 1 minute mile. I can barely walk a 15 minute mile. All right? All right, I can do it, but I'm huffing and I'm puffing. All right? Folks, that's not what we were talking about, but it is being able to fulfill and to do what God has called us to do within this life. One of the things within this text that we see, he has called us to be content within this life, and you cannot do it in and of yourself. It is the power of the living God working in and through you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, folks, I believe it may not be within this context. I think it is fully within the bounds of Scripture. Anything that God has called you to do, he will give you the strength to do it. But it is not that I can run a 1 minute mile, all right? It is not that I can go and win a football game. It is not those type of things that is being talked about. It is that doing God's will within our lives, he's given us the strength to be able to do it. Shared with you many times, I have nearly flunked high school because I wouldn't speak in front of my speech class. Debbie, speech, drama, and debate teacher. She goes and she is at one of her first ones whenever she was in her 20s, speech, drama, and debate tournaments in Oklahoma. And she runs into that teacher and says, you wouldn't believe who I married. He said, you're kidding. And you wouldn't believe what he's doing for a living either. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he'll equip you to do what he's called you to do. And he will, by his strength, call you in the midst. You will be able to do whatever is necessary for the sake of his kingdom that he has called you to do by his strength that is within you. But Mike, the key is it is as your focus is on him about everything within your life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he's granted us great many blessings, and we see those and we enjoy those, and nothing wrong with that in the scope of Christ. But let's look in. I was reading a book this week for a class that I'm taking this next week. And I came across this text. We'll look at the text in just a minute. What's your focus on? The circumstances of your life or on Jesus? And serving him and honoring him and praising him. What's your focus? Luke chapter 10 says the 72 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Can you imagine the excitement of that? As you go out as 72, two by two, and sharing the gospel and healing and the demons being cast out and all those stuff. And they are so excited about that. And a couple of verses more, a little bit more detail of what was taking place in between there. But he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice in the circumstances of what's taking place, what you have been able to do. Notice they're putting their focus on what they have been able to do rather than thanking the Lord and that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Folks, I know we get told over and over and over again that life is more than Christ. It really isn't. He is our all in all. He is why we live. And Paul gives us the example here. And folks, we've been blessed and grateful for the blessings to the Lord. But what if it's all gone? Is he enough? You know, it's an easy platitude in church. But it gets there. I remember a few years ago whenever the bottom dropped out of the economy and sitting across from people and both and families would lose their jobs. Just gone. The bottom dropped out. Is the Lord enough? Yes, you work. You do what you can. You apply. You do everything that's possible. We have got some great things that will help. But is the Lord enough? What are you preoccupied? What is you rejoicing in? Is it in all the blessings? Or is it in the blesser? The question is, where is your heart? Are you content in him? Next Sunday, we come together and we celebrate the Lord's Supper as we do once a quarter. And we will come together and we will remember what was done on the cross. It will be a reminder once again. I will say very similar words as I have said over the last 10 years at Georgetown Southern Baptist Church to remind us of what was done on our behalf. Are you content? Let me tell you what, it tends to be kind of an up and down throughout life. All right, I've shared with you in my life over the last few months some of those things as we looked in the rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and those things that come about within life that challenge us, and do we rejoice? And whenever we're anxious, it causes us to pray. Are you? Where are you in this life? You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, and you may be saying, preacher, you're nuts. It's okay. You're saying this life of denying self? You're saying be content no matter what takes place within this life? Yes. Because you see, we understand that we are sinners. And we have sinned against a living and a holy God. And because of our sin, the penalty that we deserve is a place called hell. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. It's an eternal death. We'll be cast into that lake of fire. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's not that you just die and you're gone. There's an eternity afterwards. If you don't know Christ, that's what you deserve. The thousands upon tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of times each and every one of us have sinned, we go to hell for. The gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we see in the scripture that our Father sent His Son to die on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the price for our sin. Let me tell you what, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, you have opportunity today to come and accept that penalty that was paid as He died, as God showed His love towards you while you were a sinner. Christ died for you, shed His blood. And as you come to Christ, willing to profess Him, you come with a heart attitude desiring to, what the Bible says, repent and be converted. All right? You say, preacher, you said it. You come and you accept Christ. No, repentance is what takes place. As you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior within His life, another word I use in our vocabulary is He becomes the boss of our life. Folks, I've had some really good bosses. I'm here to tell you, He's the best one. And you put yourself under submission to Him. You want to live in a life that honors Him and glorifies Him as He becomes the Lord, the Master, the boss of your life. It's repentance. And He changes your life. You profess Jesus Christ, that He was on the cross, and He died, and He was buried, and on the third day, He was victorious over the grave, and He rose again. You come profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. Folks, the invitation is open to you today for that to take place. He said, preacher, how in the world would I, why would I want to do that with all that you've said today? I'm here to tell you, there is nothing like a contented life in the midst of everything. Folks, I'm 50 years old. It's getting easier and easier, although there's still the bumps that come. But let me tell you, overall, God's been gracious and showed that contentment in the midst of life. And it's worth it all. You know Christ? Have an invitation here in just a moment. Give you opportunity to respond to what God's Word has said. For those of you that don't know Christ, you can come and ask, and we will be glad to sit down and look at God's Word with you today. Maybe as believers, you understand that your life is not content. And let me tell you flat out, you are out of the middle of God's will. He has called you to learn to be content in the midst of the mess of life. Where are you today? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Tough words, Father, as we see Paul and his faithfulness, what an encouragement it is to us. We thank You for him. Father, convict our hearts. We always look for so much stuff and so many things that will make us happy. Father, we're not looking for the happiness. We're looking for that contentment that comes from You. Father, let us seek You with all of our heart. The Word tells us to do it with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And God, we pray that is what is taking place within each of our lives, just as Paul did here within this text. Father, let us have hearts of gratitude for what You have done and what You continue to do and how You continue to work every place that we are able to see and even the areas that we don't. Father, we pray for those this morning that You are drawing to Yourself. Father, I pray that they would come to know You as Lord within their life. They would profess You this morning as Savior and Lord in their life. Father, we ask You, God, direct in this time of invitation, and that You would deal with our hearts as we've been confronted by Your Word. And we ask these things all in the name of Jesus. Amen.